Welcome to Sports Business Secrets. I'm your host, Kevin Tarka. This podcast is specifically designed to share secrets from experts in the sports business world to help you along your own path to success in this industry. Each episode is packed with lessons and insights that never expire. You'll hear from general managers of professional teams to CEOs of sports tech companies to agents, coaches, players, and everything in between. I invite you to join me in real time on my personal journey of representing players and coaches, traveling the world, and always finding a way to battle through obstacles in this competitive industry. This episode is brought to you by Ballogy. A mobile app created by coaches for coaches, the Ballogy mobile app makes it easy for you to effectively evaluate, manage, and track overall skill development for your team. This is not just another software. It's a solution to help you scale your program expectations and principles in less time. The Ballogy app is internationally available and used by some of the top programs in the U.S. Go to Ballogy.com, that's Ballogy.com for more information. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. It is that time of the year, the end of April, early May, beginning of a summer of craziness, at least in respect to the college sports space and the pro basketball space. So it's funny, this is the obviously season four of the podcast, and I've been starting to repurpose a lot of content that just seems to come up year after year after year. And if you listen to any of season one and some of the early episodes, that's what the goal of these solo episodes are, is to share and educate on evergreen topics, right? In other words, like I don't want this to turn into a newscasting or breaking news podcast, right? These are resources and context that should never change, right? The point is things like how to get recruited and how to find an agent, or different steps along your professional journey transition, those shouldn't change much. And so that's why I'm repurposing this content. In that sense, today is about players taking their first step after college into the pro space. And I've been answering a lot of phone calls and texts from coaches around this time who call and say, you know, ask me if I'm interested in representing players. I've also seen a lot of suggestions from people online where players should go. And of course, everyone has their opinions. But today I'm going to share a few things that hopefully will give you some insight into this process for college players that are wrapping up their college careers into the pro space. And if I tried to cover all these details of this topic in particular, we'd be here until free agency starts in July. So this is nowhere near all of it, but per usual, trying to hit a 30,000 foot view overview. And this will be outlined in about, I think I got four sections for you. Part one, we'll start with that. Educate yourself. To anybody listening, I don't care if you're an all-conference, high-major player, or the last person on the bench for a NAIA or D2 or D3 player, it doesn't matter. You have to educate yourself on the process. If you want to be a pro, and I would imagine that most people listening to this, your goal is to make it to the NBA. Great. Now, I don't say this to be an asshole, but you have to ask yourself how difficult it is to make the NBA. Right? Do you know how many players have ever played in the NBA? Ever, like in the existence of the NBA? About 4,800, something like that. Less than 5,000. There are 30 teams times 15 players plus three two-ways. So let's just say you're at 30 times 18. That's 540 players, give or take, because of some circumstances during the year. Now, if that's your dream, and I don't say this lightly, fucking do it. Go for it. Just make sure you educate yourself in the process. And what I mean by that is starting with how you're going to make a roster. Like if you tell me you want to make the NBA, okay, well, do you really understand how you can make the NBA? Because there are levels to it and there are steps. Are you going to get drafted? Do you know how many players get drafted? That should be an easy one. There's two rounds of 30 picks. And I'm not going to get into crunching the numbers, but if you can start to do research on how many players were international the past several years, how many came from outside of college with things like, you know, NBL Next Stars or leagues abroad who players have never even played in the States, or something like, the G League Ignite in the past, or Overtime Elite. Like, there are other options. So it's not just a 60 players are coming from college. So you have to understand that. And if you're one of them, one of those 60, if you're lucky enough to be that small, small percentage, what does that really mean? Do you have a guaranteed contract? Well, if you're in the first round, sure. Not the second round. If you are drafted, does that mean that you're going to be in the starting five, or do you still have to make a certain roster? Are you going to get drafted and stashed and go to the G League? What does that all mean? These are things that you need to understand and have people around you that will help explain. If you're not drafted, how do you get to the league? Because your dream shouldn't be over. It's not over. You know, you might have to start somewhere else, like 99% of athletes do if they want to get to the league. But there are other ways. Maybe you can get a summer league invite. You know, you can have an Exhibit 10 contract. You can have a two-way contract. You can be signed as a free agent. If you fall to the G League and you decide not to start, you know, in between the NBA draft and having an opportunity abroad, do you go to the G League draft, which is different than the NBA draft, right? Do you get an invite to G League open tryouts or maybe G League training camp? Do you know the roster numbers of a G League team? Right? You might have 16 players or 20 players in training camp, in G League training camp, competing for the final roster of the G League, but only 10 can make an opening day roster. Right? And I know I did this again last year, and I went into explaining a bit more in that episode about 10 days and Exhibit 10s and those different rules, local tryout G League players. So I'm not going to get into that today, but you can circle back to that one if you want to find out specifically about those paths. But the point of number one here is, you have to educate yourself, ask questions. If your goal is to get to the NBA, amazing. Set up a plan to get there, and then understand if you don't get there. You know, I get it. I understand. Oh, I only have plan A. My plan B is my plan A. I get it. Cool. But like, okay, if you're not on draft boards and you tell me that you're only going to go play in the NBA, it doesn't make sense. You have to kind of understand the process and what are your steps to go somewhere else to prove it, to continue proving people that you can play in the NBA. All right. So, educate yourself instead of a plan. Point number two here, the agent world. And this one can obviously go into many different subtopics, right? So I'll start with 2A and 2B. 2A is the agent business model, and 2B is the agent selection process. 2A, the agent business model. Now, there's many different models, but some agents will go use a partner, and some will go direct to clubs. What does that mean? First of all, again, I'm even having trouble kind of explaining because there's so many paths to go down here. So some can go to clubs, some can use partners, some wait around and do nothing, and they try and steal clients after they have a few, you know, different contracts abroad. That's the reality. It's not a tangent I'm going to go on today, but if you understand how an agent makes money, you're going to start to understand the different models. So generally speaking, agents take a percentage of your playing contract. And right now I'm just talking about playing contract. I'm not talking about marketing deals or NIL or brand partnerships. NBA agents take a percentage between 2-4% of a contract. That depends on if you're making the minimum salary or above the minimum salary. Obviously, you can go deeper into that. FIBA agents, they take 10%, 10% of a playing contract. But that could be split in half or in multiple different sections if it's done by multiple agents and multiple agents come together to get a deal finalized. Now, just to double click on the agents and like the business model of partnering with different agencies, an agent might operate, like I said, directly to clubs. Right, I've done that for the most part for 7 years, simply because I've spent time and money and built those genuine direct relationships with clubs. Or an agent can have a partnership with another agent or agency in a different market, which I have also done with agents that I know and trust. For example, to break it down really simple, Agent Bob from USA signs a USA player out of college. Agent Bob has never been to Germany. Agent Bob met a friend, Agent Sally, at Summer League. Agent Sally happens to live in Germany. So Bob tells Sally that, hey, here's a player that's going overseas. Do you think this player can play in Germany? Sally says, sure, I can be the local agent here and help you get this player in front of teams in Germany if you'd like. Bob says, great. Sally talks to German teams, gets an offer, shares the offer with Bob. Bob shares the offer with the player. Player signs. Sally and Bob split that commission percentage of the contract, 5% each. Okay? That's kind of like broken down how a partner deal works. Now, obviously, it can get more intricate. There could be more people involved. But you can start to understand where communication is very important when you have multiple agents involved. So just understand that. That's all I'll go into for now for the agent business model. Now, 2B, agent selection process. Where to find an agent? Spoiler alert. If agents are not calling you, there is a reason. Do your research on who contacts you. Do they send you a DM on Instagram? Now, this is my personal opinion. Huge red flag. Does that mean that everybody that sends you a DM on Instagram is a bad person? Absolutely not. But typically, it's very easy to understand where a player is in their career if they're being represented by somebody. Usually, it says it right there. And if you have people starting to DM behind the scenes and try to communicate behind the backs of certain people, it gets very messy. And again, like I tell you this from experience and being on both sides, I understand it, right? If a player is represented by someone, there needs to be a trust and a communication there. And so just understand, if you're starting to get DMs or messages on Facebook from someone who, you know, you don't know, educate yourself. Who do they represent? Even if they say someone, right? You know, that should be a first job on your end, is like, what agency is it? Who do they represent? Who are their clients? Start to cross-reference this stuff. Now, if they say a name, usually somebody will say a huge NBA name, right? Understand, are they really representing that player, or are they just somewhat affiliated? For example, and this is not to put another agency down by any means, obviously Octagon represents some of the best athletes in the world, one of which is Steph Curry. But I'll never forget, like always, as I got started on my agent journey, you know, some random people would hit me up overseas and be like, oh, you know, we represent Steph Curry. Well, Octagon has hundreds of agents, and their business model is simply just a lot of agents that represent a lot of players. So does that person that is hitting you up on Instagram, have they ever met Steph Curry? Likely not, right? Obviously, it depends who, you know, who it is, but that's just an example on, you know, people that have done partnership deals with Octagon, and then the client lists and who they, you know, who they say they represent. So again, disclaimer here for all the people that are saying, you know, I'm going to say something bad about Octagon. I know Octagon agents. There's some of the best in the business. Like some of them I consider my friends. Great people. Obviously do a great job. But just understand that concept of like, who do agents really represent? And you know, if you're not on draft boards and you've never played before and somebody's reaching out to you to represent you, you know, like, why are they bringing up Steph Curry? Like, are you going to go, you know, get a contract like Steph Curry? Just understand that concept. Now, how to approach an agent is a big topic. I can do a masterclass on this. I have done a masterclass on this. Just for starters, like, get your resume together. If you're a player approaching agents, get your resume together. Make it super easy present yourself. Get some highlights, get some stats, make it crisp, clear, simple, not like a novel. Okay, like I don't need to know what you bench press or your awards from middle school, or you know, like unless I ask or unless we're talking about it, I don't need to know the electives that you chose for high school. Like it doesn't matter. In conversations, that will matter. But when you're just approaching an agent, get right to the point. Remember, if an agent or a team is interested, they don't necessarily need highlights or they don't need your profile from you. They're going to understand because they have their own list. They have their own recruiting strategies. They can watch a film on Synergy or even YouTube if they have to. But it's nice to have, right? So just make sure you kind of do your due diligence. Now, what not to do when trying to approach an agent with that information even. Now, again, feel free to do this. This is your life, but it's simply my recommendation as somebody who helps guys get to the next level. Don't do this. Don't send them a DM on Instagram just saying, yo, bro, what up, fam? Like, hey, how are you doing? You looking to sign new clients? Again, like, okay, maybe I understand that, you know, if doesn't mean you're a bad person if you do that. Maybe you've never been taught. This is one problem, but don't do that. Like, what why would I answer someone that says, hey, how are you doing? Just randomly. Or just sends like, you know, links and links and links of games randomly. Don't do that. Find a way to get someone that's one degree of separation away. Find somebody, if you're trying to approach me, for example, find someone who knows me that can speak on behalf of you and try to get an intro. Now, I'm not saying don't message people or don't cold call, do it, but just do it right and do it professional. Short and sweet. Keep it to the point. All right, that's enough on that topic. Part three, a brief overseas review. As you can start to tell, these could be hour-long episodes, and usually why I break them down into individual topics, but wanted to give a lot of just a lot of insight here today. So the overseas or abroad process. Now, if you're listening to this and you're aspiring pro, this is for the majority of you. Why? Well, simply because I'm a data guy, crunch the numbers, and percentage of people listening to this versus the percentage of people that make it to the NBA, there's a reality there. Okay. So you need to understand a handful of basics. Every single league is different. If I'm you and I'm an aspiring pro, and I know that the Lakers aren't drafting me, start with the roster rules for each league and understand how many imports they have. Figure out if you have family from somewhere else and if you can get dual citizenship. That's the first thing I'm doing because it's the most valuable, right? For example, the reason why I say that, Le Plata in Spain, which is Leb Silver, the third division in Spain, right? They are allowed one import player, which means typically one American player they're only allowed to sign on their roster. So are you better than all the other American players that are sending their profiles to this team? I don't know, maybe, but that's the point. There's only one spot per team. Now, if you have dual citizenship, or if you are in another league, for example, Pro A Germany, the second division in Germany, where they have multiple imports that are allowed, you have a better chance. So there are more openings, there are more spots. So even understanding that is important. Now, again, if you have that dual citizenship, like I mentioned, instead of being an import player, not always because of the certain rules of how they naturalize, but if you have, let's just say, a European passport, you're considered what's called Bosman A, depending on, or Bosman B, depending on where you're from. That's valuable because then remember, you would potentially count as a roster spot for a, in quotes, European player versus an American player, even though you might be an American Italian or an American Portuguese or whatever it is. So understand that. Then try to get an idea for the salary, right? I know you've probably heard this, and it's kind of, you know, lame to say, but it's like, if you're in this for money, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. Well, that's the reality, especially with the craziness of NIL coming up. You might be making $40,000 in college right now and understand that you have no chance at the NBA. And then you're going to try to start your professional career abroad. And there's a very small chance you're going to make that much money as a rookie. You got to reprove everything. The couple of leagues that I mentioned, Germany Pro A, a lot of great opportunities, a lot of teams that offer $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, maybe $2,000 per month. Not everybody, but the average. Portugal, some teams, I've had clients sign in Portugal for $600 a month just to get their foot in the door. $1,000, $1,200 per month, $2,000 per month. Denmark, same thing. Now you get to different places, Iceland or Belgium or Romania, sure, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, maybe $5,000 a month, like, you know, Hungary or BBL Germany or, you know, Italy, Serie A2, which can start to increase. Now, again, are there opportunities where you can make more? Have there been rookies that have signed for $100,000 contracts, $60,000 contracts? Sure. Just understand the difference, the level, what people are looking for. If you have a summer league invite as a rookie and then you don't make the NBA team, those are the types of players that teams are looking to sign right away for big contracts. Just understand it's a crazy path and you have to re-earn everything no matter how many points you scored in college. Okay. So After that, I would learn about the culture, learn about the history of the clubs there, figure out who pays on time and who doesn't pay on time, figure out who cycles players through. If it's, again, not to give Greece a bad rep, but like, yeah, certain teams in Greece or in Turkey in the past have been known for paying players late or cycling through a lot of players during the year, right? Doesn't mean that those are bad places to play. I've been to both, and both have amazing teams, amazing people, and awesome situations, but just understand it's case by case. You know, understand the city, the lifestyle, the weather, the language, the food, all of the above. This is not a walk in the park. It's stressful. It's overwhelming. But this is the reality. If you're going to become a pro, take this into your own hands and educate yourself on how everything works. Right? Now, with that just being said about, you know, teams paying late and situations and getting cut, please remember, it could be an amazing, amazing time in your life. You could experience things and meet people that you never would get the chance to otherwise. And yeah, you could win some games, make history, and climb the proverbial ladder of being a pro abroad and make a ton of money. But if you expect that on day one, you're in for a long haul. Okay? That's my blurb, my 5-6 minute blurb about the pathway abroad. Part four, and the last part for now, because I know I've been rambling here for 20 minutes. This is the most important piece to me. It should be at least one of the most important pieces for you. Figure out what you love to do, right? I start and end pretty much every single phone call with a parent or with a player, with a coach who has someone or knows someone who's trying to play at the next level. What do you want to do with your life? What are you interested in? What are you passionate for? Obviously, you want to make money being a pro. We all know that, or we wouldn't even be listening to this episode. But the phrase that I usually use is, God forbid, what happens if you got hit by a truck tomorrow and you couldn't walk? God forbid you lost both your arms. It's morbid to think about, but it paints the picture. What if you weren't physically capable of playing basketball? What do you want to do with your life? Do you want to coach? Do you want to be an accountant? Do you want to be a painter? Do you want to be a teacher? I mean, what do you want to do? This is real. This is important to me, and it should be important to you. Then you can come back to reality, and hopefully you still have your legs and they work and you still have your arms and you can go play. But that retirement day is coming for you, whether it's tomorrow or in 15 years, you know, whether you're 37, 29, 23, or anything in between, hopefully you're going to have a very long and healthy life. And so you're not going to retire and sit on the couch and be financially able or mentally stable to just sit there and do nothing. You have to figure it out. Find what you love and figure out how to make a business out of it. I'm quite literally doing that right now. I'm still going through the process, right? We can stay here all day and talk about stats, level of play, and how to put yourself in certain game situations to be perceived as a better pro. But let's not overthink it here. NBA teams, G League teams, pro teams abroad, for the most part, they know basketball for the most part, right? You or an agent or a parent or somebody else trying to convince them or explain what type of play you are or why they should draft you is not going to change their minds. That literally is their job, to evaluate you as a player to potentially give you a contract. But the off-court stuff, that's the real stuff that not many want to talk about. You can forget about even the stats that I was sharing before. When a team calls me, or they call your coach, or they do intel checks on your friends or your middle school gym teacher, they're not asking you about how many threes you made last season. They're not asking you about how effective you are in a full court transition shooting drill, cardio wise. They're not asking what your bench press is, how many reps you get 185. They're not asking what your effective field goal percentage is, your assist to turnover ratio. They're not. They're asking who you are as a person. They're asking if you work hard. They're asking if you do things 100% without the cameras on you. They're asking if you vape or go to the clubs. They're asking if you have a subscription to a meditation app and prioritize your mental health. Those are the things they're asking, right? Who you are as a brother, as a sister, as a son, as a daughter, as an uncle, as a person, as a human being. If you're good at basketball, someone will find you. Might take longer than you had hoped for, but keep going. They will find you. There is no magic formula for success. There will always be outliers. There's going to be people who do the opposite of what I'm saying in this entire 25 minutes of rambling and then get an awesome contract tomorrow. Life's not fair sometimes. All right. Life's not fair. But the point of this entire episode was, and hopefully you took something from it, educate yourself, put yourself in a position to where you understand the way that the business works, because it's crazy. It's ever changing. That's just the reality of where we find ourselves. So that's all for this rant. If you're new here, thanks for tuning in. If you're a player, a coach, a team, abroad, a parent, always happy to help if I can. Send me an email and I'll try to help. We'll find a way to make it happen. Have a good one. Thanks again for listening, my friends. If you enjoyed the episode or if it brought you any value at all, it would mean the world to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you share it on social media, make sure you tag me at Kevin Tarka. If there are any topics that you want me to dive into or any guests you'd love for me to have on the show, just shoot me a message and I will do my best to make it happen. Have an amazing day and hope to see you back here soon.